Thanks for listening to the JX today. Other than the noise from a major renovation project, the Oregon Capitol building is a quiet place these days. The odd-numbered year-long session of the Oregon legislature, the one that makes the two-year budget, ended not quite 2 weeks ago. A lot got done. A bunch on the agenda did not reach the finish line. We asked legislators from both parties and houses to join us. We got yeses from two guests. Julie Fahey is House Speaker, a Democrat, who represents a House district covering West Eugene and Veneta. Speaker Fahey, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeff.
Good to have you. Senator Jeff Golden is with us as well, also a Democrat representing a Senate district covering Ashland and Medford and southern Jackson County. Welcome, Senator.
Thank you, Jeff. What a treat that you're hosting today.
What an accident, but Mike gets a break, so there we go. Good to have you both here. Let's start with some general hits, some general senses of what happened. Senator Golden, let's start with you. How did the session compare with your expectations?
Well, I'm still trying to figure that out 2 weeks later. You know, we went in with one very large shared priority. That was the transportation funding package, and that turned out to be very problematic. And then my accompanying priority was wildfire funding. And we didn't do what we needed to do, which is establish a stable, reliable source for wildfire funding. You know, we're in that time of year where we're getting really nervous again, appropriately. We did get enough to get through the coming year, but we're going to have to go back in short session and take care of that. Those were the sort of marquee events that I had hoped for a bit more. But as you pointed out in the intro, a lot of interesting things went on and some good legislation got through.
Yeah, we do have a lot to unpack here. And Speaker Fahey, this is your first session as Speaker. It's a tough job in the best of circumstances. What circumstances did you find?
It certainly was a tough job. We had, you know, the overlay of the national environment with, you know, everything coming out of Washington, D.C. Economically, policy-wise, you know, it was very difficult to set a budget in the environment of tariffs on again, off again, you know, all the threats to federal funding and what was going to happen to Medicaid and SNAP. So it certainly was a tough environment, but I'm really proud of the work that we got done this session. You know, Senator Golden mentioned transportation and wildfire funding, which we certainly could have done more of. But, you know, we had a long list of things that we did get done, including securing health care for 1.3 million Oregonians. The federal government's, you know, talking about cutting Medicaid, and one of the very first things we did this session was protect and renew our funding source for the Oregon Health Plan. I'm really, really proud of that, really proud of our work on education, where we kind of had historic funding in our education system, along with new accountability measures to make sure that funding is spent well and is getting results. And investments in summer learning, including, you know, money that's being deployed right now all around the state to help kids catch up over the summer. So there's a long list of things that we can talk about. It certainly was a difficult environment, but I think we did well given the circumstances.
Julie Fahey is the Oregon House Speaker. Jeff Golden, a Senate Democrat. They're both Democrats. You can join us on the exchange with questions or comments about the legislative session and what got done and what didn't. Send an email along to jx@jeffnet.org. Those will open up right in front of me, and we'll pass those along to our guests. Speaker Fahey, let's come back to what Senator Golden referred to in his issues list. Transportation was a big one. No package emerging from the legislature immediately led to hundreds of layoffs at ODOT. So first, describe the need. How did we get here?
Yeah, there is a real need. And we put forward a package this session that solves the problem in front of us. And that problem is that we don't have enough funding for the basic operations and maintenance of our roads and bridges, both now in the short term, which is why you're seeing layoffs, but also in the future as we get to a point where, you know, more cars on the road will be electric and we won't be bringing in as much money from the gas tax. So of the seven Western states, Oregon is dead last in terms of how much funding that Oregonians put towards our roads and bridges. So that means, you know, we have unsafe infrastructure, we have failing bridges, we have decades of deferred maintenance. And as I look into the future, that problem is only going to get worse. So we worked for well over a year to develop a proposal that would actually meet the need. And unfortunately, we weren't able to get the support, particularly in the Senate, to get that over the finish line this session. And we're seeing the real-world impacts of that right now. Layoffs at ODOT, which will mean, you know, noticeable impacts to the road maintenance and safety services over the next few months.
So pick up the story on the Senate side, if you would, Jeff Golden. First of all, there was quite an array of taxes being considered. What were the major sticking points as you see them?
Well, how to summarize this? First of all, I was not on the Transportation Committee, and a lot of us didn't really see a very specific proposal until kind of late. And, you know, our Republican friends have been really focusing on avoiding new taxes and services. And, you know, it's quite true that Oregon families have some economic challenges, and we understand the appeal of that. But we're sort of in a doom loop here the speaker mentioned deferred maintenance. Well, our deferred maintenance in Oregon has reached a really critical level. Most people see it in their communities. And one example, you know, our bridges are right now on a schedule where they'll get tended to every 900 years, which is problematic when the useful lifespan of a bridge tends to be 90 or 100 years. And the problem is that for many years, increased fees and changes, and the speaker mentioned, you know, the change in the fuel types. We're not using as much fuel per capita, and that's the basis of our funding. Those are really difficult issues politically. And in the past, leaders, political people, have kind of tended to kick the can down the road. I think that's true in transportation and in other places, too. And we're kind of out of road to kick the can down. So it's just not realistic that we can meet Oregonians' needs, their personal needs, the needs of commerce and economic development in the state, without more serious commitment to maintaining and, in some cases, improving our transportation system. So that's a real bind. And so early on, a number of people saying, I don't see supporting new revenue here. You know, let's cut waste, fraud, and abuse. And a couple things can be true at the same time and are. One is that we can and have a responsibility to use our existing tax dollars better. And this bill, what we tried to do, really imposed some new accountability standards on our transportation system so we know how we're spending the money and what we're getting back from it. So that's true. We can any government can always do better that way. And we have to be serious about that, about spending taxpayer dollars well. At the same time, we have to end this cycle of ignoring the maintenance needs so that we can provide Oregonians with a viable transportation system. So a long way of saying, Jeff, that the resistance to new taxes and the focus on the legitimate economic challenges of Oregonians is, in my view, is the biggest thing that got in the way of an agreement this session.
And Speaker Fahey, your counterpart on the Republican side, the minority leader, Christine Drazen, held news conferences and gathered her Republicans and said, yeah, we really can't have new taxes, and the ones you're having are so big and things of that sort. But she also described the proposed transportation package as built in the basement without public scrutiny. What was, did you change the process to try to get this bill out?
We had a little over a year of process to develop the package. And that started last year with a statewide tour to listen to communities all around the state about what their transportation needs actually are, and importantly, what revenue tools they would support to fund those. So we did state stops all around the state to have public testimony and get input. And then in the fall and the winter leading up to the session, we convened a series of three work groups with stakeholders and legislators, all across the a variety of different perspectives to inform the work heading into the session. And many of the proposals that you saw in what was House Bill 2025, the transportation package, came out of that work of listening to the public and the very public work group process. And it was reflective of, you know, input from Republicans and more conservative-leaning stakeholders, too. There were a number of things that were in the package around that were supported by truckers or other business interests. And so I think the process was very reflective of the public input on the need. And, I'm proud of what we put forward. Like I said, it solved the problem. We saw a problem in front of us. Senator Golden is absolutely right. Past legislatures have kicked the can down the road. The last transportation package that passed in 2017, only 2% of that funding went to maintenance and operations at ODOT. And the can has been kicked down the road for a couple of decades, and it's sitting right in front of us right now.
We're talking about the Oregon legislative session with House Speaker Julie Fahey, a Democrat, and Senator Jeff Golden, also a Democrat. An invitation went out to a Republican House member and got no response. There have been hints, Speaker Fahey, about a special session to come back and finish the job. What are the prospects, you think, for that happening?
Well, I think the need hasn't gone away, and, you know, our roads and bridges and transit systems still need funding to operate and to operate safely. And so we are in active conversations about next steps here. I think as folks start to see the real-world impact of the layoffs and the reductions in services, that will, you know, build momentum for us coming back and taking action. I know in my community, there are 12 maintenance stations all across the state that are going to be closed, including three in Southern Oregon, Silver Lake, Port Orford, and Canyonville, and one in my community in Veneta. And so the highway 126 from Eugene out to the coast is already a very dangerous highway, and I'm really worried about what the impacts are of reducing service on that highway. So I think as folks start to see, here's the impact of not solving this problem in this long session, there will be momentum that will build for either coming back in a short session or in a special session or the short session in February.
Well, no surprise.
Go ahead. If I can add about immediate impacts in the Rogue Valley, Jeff, at present, there's no reason to think we can fund operations that we're used to, especially in the winter, keeping the Siskiyou Pass open, Mount Ashland Road. You know, we're going to have a challenging wildfire season. Our transportation folks are critical in accessing certain areas. At this moment, we don't know how we're going to fund any of that. This is not a distant challenge. It's really an immediate emergency.
All right. We'll be talking a lot about transportation in the days ahead. We've spent about a third of our time so far talking about the legislative session and transportation funding. Let's move on to a different topic. Senator Golden, wildfire fighting funding. You had some big ideas coming into the session. Talk about what you proposed and how those flew or didn't.
Yeah, so as you probably remember, Jeff, a group that was convened by the governor, they called them the Fire 35, met for about a year, and their charge was to find a source of reliable wildfire funding independent of the general fund, because the general fund is really oversubscribed right now. We can talk about that in a bit. And the general fund is primarily a great majority what's funded our wildfire programs. We all can see the problem. We know what the issues are. And, we have been running in the red the last few years. We had to come into special session after the 2024 wildfire season and transfer a lot of money to pay for suppression. And we haven't done a good job at all since our big wildfire bill, 762, of funding prevention and risk reduction. And unless we do that, we'll never get our arms around that. So there were, this is a long story, the summary of the different options that were presented, and that came to the legislature in a large bill. And for a number of reasons, there was the larger pieces couldn't gain enough consensus. What we ended up with at the very end of the session, knowing that we really needed to provide for the coming wildfire season, was one new source of revenue. It is a nicotine device, some call it a Zin tax, that's going to provide about $20 million. It's a lower tax. There was some concern that if we do tax that nicotine, and we're concerned about the addiction of young people from those devices. If we tax that really that revenue needs to go to deal with that problem, substance abuse and public health. But in the end, we instituted a relatively small tax for that. Also, a decision to take a percentage of the rainy day fund interest to produce about $40 million in new revenue. We also funded independently the Oregon Conservation Corps, the Youth in the Woods program. And in the Ways and Means process, things were sort of patched together to produce a total of about $250 million for the biennium. That's, in my view, that may get us through 1 year of the biennium. And I don't like to be negative about things, but looking at the reality on the ground, I am pretty sure in the short session we're going to have to go back and fund another year of wildfire, again, emphasizing risk reduction, not just suppression. What I worked on the hardest was a proposal to turn part of the income tax kicker, estimated to be $1.7 billion this year, to a permanent trust fund that would never get spent, but the interest earnings permanently on into the very distant future would be used for wildfire. That takes a two-thirds vote, very high bar to redirect the kicker.
Right.
And there was not interest from the other party in doing that. So that's a little bit of what's happening. We pretty much have
hang it there.
Hang
on, Dr. Senator. Yeah, we're hitting the break here. Yeah, and good way to put it, that the general fund is oversubscribed. We have a whole other section to talk about with Speaker Fahey and Senator Golden about the legislative session. Stay tuned to the Jefferson Exchange. We're back in a minute and a half. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of JPR, I'm Jeffrey Riley, sitting in for the vacationing Mike Green. Thanks for listening. We're just in the middle of a chat about the accomplishments and the left undones of the Oregon legislature. This year's big session, the one that sets the two-year state budget, closed on June 27th. We're talking over the results with House Speaker Julie Fahey, a Democrat from a House district covering West Eugene and Vineta, and Senator Jeff Golden, also a Democrat representing District 3, covering Ashland and Medford and southern Jackson County. Speaker Fahey, let's talk about education funding. $11.4 billion for K-12 schools. That is more than last biennium, but enough to match where the costs are going?
Yeah, that's right, Jeff. I'm very proud of that work to make sure that even in a tough budget environment, we could fund what we call current service level in the legislature. So that means, you know, enough to make sure that we're, you know, keep doing what we're doing from the standpoint of funding. But I think also importantly, we were able to make investments in things that we know from the evidence actually move the needle in terms of student achievement. So in particular, summer learning and early literacy. So summer learning, we made our successful summer learning program permanent and created an ongoing source of funding for that. So that means that districts all around the state that have struggling readers in particular will be able to count on that funding and have time to develop effective programs. So, you know, we know that particularly, and we made that summer, those summer learning programs more focused on literacy. And so we know that the kids that need that extra time to catch up on literacy, summer learning programs are particularly effective for that. There's a great one in my community, in the Bethel School District, and I know there are a handful in Jackson County and as well that are doing very well. We also, you know, strengthened our early literacy programs throughout the year, making sure that our school districts are focused on teaching literacy in ways that are aligned with the evidence. And I mentioned in my intro the accountability measure that we passed, Senate Bill 141. That accountability measure will help ensure that the investments that we're making will be used effectively by school districts and, you know, setting goals and metrics for measuring performance and empowering the state to be able to step in when districts are struggling and provide more intensive support.
Jeff Golden, you voted for Senate Bill 141, I see. Schools haven't been doing so well in the old measurements. How will new measurements help? Jeff Golden, you still there?
I put myself on mute. I got a little street noise behind me.
Okay.
That is kind of left to be determined, Jeff. This is the most rigorous set of accountability standards and metrics that have been put in place. It is turning a new page. You know, it's graduated in that there's assistance and aid to districts that are particularly struggling. And that is, at a certain point, if they still can't meet certain metrics, the state may step in a more assertive way. So it's not just window dressing. There are some teeth, and we are all very interested in seeing how this unfolds because the K-12 budget has expanded over time, and we all think that's a core function of state government, but taxpayers are understandably saying, what are my dollars buying again? And this is our chance to answer that question in a way that we haven't before.
Let's go beyond K-12 and talk about higher ed funding. Speaker Fahey, more money, but I can hear the university presidents, including at Southern Oregon University, where we are based and which owns us, citing continued disinvestment in higher education. What is the trend, and is there a way of reversing it?
It's a great question. I think we have, you know, with the Student Success Act that passed in 2019 that increased our investment in early learning and K-12 education by $1 billion a year, we have been focused on sort of the younger learners, making sure that we can get folks, kids off to a good start, both you know, investment in early learning is sort of the best return on investment in terms of kids' future academic success. And then getting our K-12 schools up to snuff. That has been a big focus of the legislature for the past, you know, 6 to 8 years. Higher education, you know, we unfortunately, as Senator Golden said, the general fund in Oregon is oversubscribed. And so we have not been able to make the investments that I think many of us would like to see in higher education to make sure that students are prepared for the workforce and for life after they leave our K-12 system. You know, we have, you know, 2 years ago, we were able to make substantial investments in the Oregon Opportunity Grant when we had a revenue forecast come in higher than expected. And that was great to be able to help kids afford higher ed. Unfortunately, we're in a different budget environment this year. We have, for the first time in about 15 years, we had less revenue than expected come in our May revenue forecast. So we budgeted in 2 year cycles in the legislature. And so we, like every state, we have to balance our budget. We can only spend what our economists are projecting that we bring in. And they're projecting that we would bring in less than we were expecting over the next 2 years. Part of that is the economic chaos out of DC. Tariffs have an impact on what the revenue that we're going to bring in and then threaten federal funding as well. So it's a tough budget environment. I know there are many areas where we would have liked to have done more, but, you know, we prioritize the areas that we had the most need around K-12 education, housing and homelessness, behavioral health care, and we're able to make some important investments there.
We're doing a legislative postmortem with Speaker Julie Fahey from the Oregon House and Senator Jeff Golden from the Oregon Senate. You wanted to get in on this, Jeff Golden?
Yeah, I wanted to add to the higher ed conversation, old Jeff. I think there is pretty broad consensus in Salem that we are not investing the way we want to or should in post-secondary education. So universities and community colleges, they are central. They are key to an opportunity economy where people have some mobility and can make a better life for themselves. And we need to be more helpful with that. And SOU has done a yeoman's work doing, you know, sustaining basic services in the face of cuts. But I wanted to note one very good piece of news, and this is separate from the general fund. It's in our bonding budget. You know, we do bond projects. And this session, we secured just a little north of $40 million for the new SOU Creative Industries facility, which is going to be right by where you're sitting right now. It's a really important project that brings together a lot of SOUs in Southern Oregon's strengths in a way that I really think is going to move the needle in Southern Oregon's presence in the higher ed system. So we're really excited about that.
All right. Thanks for adding that. Let's make sure we do get to housing. You just mentioned that, Speaker Fahey. Several bills to speed up the creation of new dwellings. What levers does the legislature have to use here, and which ones did you flick?
Yeah, I'm so glad that you asked. Housing is one of my favorite policy areas to work in. We need to be building more housing in the state. We are quite short in terms of the number of homes all around the state, and it's leading to higher housing prices, and it's exacerbating our homelessness crisis. So we focused on all ends of the spectrum on housing this session. Building more was a very important goal that we had. And in the House, we were led by Representative Pam Marsh, who's the chair of the Housing Committee, representative out of Ashland. And so we passed a bill that will help us build more middle housing in Oregon. Things like duplexes, accessory dwelling units, triplexes, townhomes, that cutting some red tape to help get more middle housing built, including condos. There was another bill that reformed our outdated condo liability laws that have been discouraging developers from building entry-level homeownership opportunities. That's an area that's particularly important to me personally. When my husband and I were a young couple, you know, of course we wanted to buy a single-family home, but we couldn't afford that. So we bought a condo in a four-unit building. And I'm hopeful that the legislation we pass this session will help more first-time home buyers be able to afford those types of homes. We also, you know, focus on innovation in housing construction. If we're going to meet the need, we can't keep doing things the way that we're doing. So investments in factory-built and modular housing projects, making sure that we're removing red tape so that, you know, modular and manufactured homes can be sited in new communities. And then we passed a bill, an innovative bill called the Oregon Homes Program, which will allow for pre-approved housing designs with standardized land use approvals. So if, you know, that will allow builders to skip repetitive permitting processes and move faster on certain types of housing construction. It's a really important piece. And the last thing I'll highlight is just a bill that Representative Marsh worked on around capping rent increases for residents in manufactured home parks.
6%, was that the lead?
6% per year.
Yes, can I jump in on that on HB 3054? We partnered on that. And that's been in the works for years, and people need to understand this. This is a narrow sector. It's for manufactured home parks. And the tenants in those parks have a unique problem. They're kind of captive consumers. If they don't like the rent increases, they're not able to say, well, I guess I'll just move across the street, as if they were renting an apartment,
right,
because the cost of moving that home is often as great as the home itself. So it's not a free market. So while some people really have problems with rent caps, this one is justified to deal with this very particular problem and the fact that institutional investors, equity funds, hedge funds, have really been buying up in this market because it's so profitable, because the tenants can't move. So this finally getting us over the finish line, this cap, has really been critical for more than a few Southern Oregonians, people around the state, but we have a particular concentration of this problem.
State Senator Jeff Golden, House Speaker Julie Fahey, our guests here on the Jefferson Exchange as we do a legislative postmortem. We have a few minutes left. You can get in with an email to jx@jeffnet.org. Speaker Fahey, guns. It's been a little hard to track with Measure 114 and the lawsuit stopping it, and then the Court of Appeals saying it can go ahead. There was some stuff in the legislative session about guns. Where did you end up?
You're right there, Jeff. It's been a long journey for Measure 114, which voters passed at the ballot a few years ago, and has been, you know, there have been lawsuits working their way through the court. So on that front, the Oregon Supreme Court agreed to take an appeal on Measure 114, and so we'll be waiting for another, you know, potentially up to a year, but certainly some months for them to consider those appeals. We had a bill this session that would have improved Measure 114 and made it more implementable and made sure law enforcement had the resources that they needed to implement that measure. Again, the legislature didn't pass the permit to purchase law in 114, but we are responsible, like, for all ballot measures with implementing that law. When the Supreme Court decided to take up that appeal and, you know, pushed out the timeline for implementation, we decided not to move forward with that bill. We were going to let the process play out in the courts. But what we did pass this session is Senate Bill 243. So that did a couple of things. It banned the manufacture, sale, and transport of what's called rapid-fire activators, things like bump stocks or Glock switches, you know, that have been used in mass shootings to mimic automatic fire. So that was an important step forward on gun safety. And that bill also allowed more local governments to be able to ban firearms in their buildings. Not a mandate, it is a local control issue to be able to have local governments control what kind of weather and what kind of firearms come into their building.
Jeff Golden, about a minute left, just enough time to talk about campaign finance reform, which you've been working on a lot. The changes that have been passed thus far are still on track, but it was a bit of a question for a while.
Well, it is. What happened, a bill was proposed late in the session to push back the implementation date of a campaign finance bill that passed in the last session very suddenly. It is a very complex system, and the Secretary of State said, we don't have enough time to implement according to the timeline. Let's push it off to implementation in 2031. And that was really not received well by campaign finance advocates. I happen to be the rare Democrat who voted against that bill. And the reason was, I think we badly need a transparent system where an Oregonian can follow the money if they put in a little bit of work. And I do believe the system that passed was way too complicated. And that's one of the reasons it's going to take a long time to implement. So I'm actually thinking very seriously about coming back in the short session with a much simpler system, because I don't think Oregonians are going to have a lot of faith in a very complex system. And I think this news that we need to push back implementation 4 years is not what Oregonians want to hear. And I feel a responsibility to try to come up with something a little clearer and more straightforward.
All right. The short session will happen after the first of next year, and it is, in fact, about 35 days or less. And then special sessions, still an open issue if the legislature gets called back in or calls itself back in to talk about transportation funding. House Speaker Julie Fahey, thanks so much for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thanks for having me.
Senator Jeff Golden, always good to have you.
Great talking to you, and nice hearing your voice, Speaker Fahey.